Glad you're here today. We're studying the Word of God, and we're in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32. You will open your Bibles to that section. We will stand and read it in just a second. But I want to remind you where we're at in the book of Romans. We're at the very beginning talking about sin. And last week we talked about the creation and Mother Earth worship and Gaia and climate change and how all of that stuff is working towards a one world government and that sort of thing. This week, it just continues to be an after effect of what is we talked about last week, the creation being out of order, in disorder, and devolving instead of evolving. So we're going to see sexual immorality today as a sin that happened in the 60s and the 70s, where it really was became very pronounced in my era of time. And then it went into homosexuality in the 80s, and now we have transgenderism in the 2000s. And it just keeps getting worse and worse, and then it culminates in phase three of really judicial hardening of a culture in a debased mind, where it's constantly evil, much like the days of Noah. So we're studying today, it just keeps getting worse and worse. God gives them over, and when he gives you over, this is judicial hardening. This is a punishment from God. So if you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. We honor God by standing when we read his Word. Romans 1, verses 24 through 32. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is the Word of God. Our Father, we thank you for this time to study your Word. And Lord, I realize that this is an area of sensitivity to so many, because so many have been impacted by the things we're going to be talking about today. Lord, open our spiritual eyes to the truth. Help our hearts to be softened, our minds to be alert, and may we hear from the Spirit of God today the things that you want us to hear, Lord, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The theme of Romans is the just shall live by faith. And we inculcate over and over and over, teach by repetition, so hope you never forget. Romans is broken down into six sections: sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, and then so long. It gives a farewell message. Now, last week we laid the groundwork for abandoning the worship of the true God. We talked about worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. We also mentioned that people know intuitively that there is a God, and they must suppress the truth and unrighteousness to ignore him in verse 18 last week. And the results of suppressing the truth and unrighteousness is the wrath of God is being poured out on all those who do this. The unrighteous are those who ignore God. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. Their hearts were darkened, we read last week. People volitionally turn away from God. God inherently has put something within every human about his existence, of who he really is, and people must suppress that in order to go about doing their evil. And remember, we said something last week about exit the true God, enter the gods of this world. And America has been inundated with the gods of this world. It's no longer a Christian nation. The counterfeit worship of false gods. Now, one of those counterfeits was worshiping creation rather than the Creator. In verse 23, we read, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. The amazing things to me is that people will worship the creation, which is so wonderful and beautiful, made by our Creator, but will not worship the Creator. That's an astounding thing. That is a blinded mind's people. And what happens is that when people start to worship themselves or the creation, they become God themselves. Remember we talked about Invictus, unconquerable, undefeated, the self-God. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And when you exit God from a culture, you invariably will enter crazy into the culture. Crazy, and it just keeps getting crazier. And it seems like this. People have lost their ever-loving minds. In this country, we've lost our ever-loving minds. It's strange, isn't it? Homosexual marriage is not marriage in the eyes of God. We must realize that. Doesn't matter what the culture says. Doesn't matter what the government says. Doesn't matter what the schools teach or what industry says or corporations say. God created marriage between a man and a woman. Extolling transgenderism. That's crazy stuff. Men are women and women are men. Extolling the killing of the unborn. That's crazy stuff. God says the following will happen if you abandon him. Now notice, to the nation of Israel, in Deuteronomy 28, 28, that whole Deuteronomy 28 section, it's blessing and curses, blessing and curses. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you're going to be cursed. He ends up in 28, 28 saying this, when the culture turns away from me, when Israel turns away from me, when anybody turns away from me, God says, I will strike you with madness, blindness, and confusion of heart. And tell me, do you not think that is happening in our country today? Madness, blindness, and confusion of heart. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 talks about the time in Israel, which is very much analogous to our time today. He says this, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitterness. Folks, we're in this massive time where we're calling evil good and good evil. With this perversion, with this madness that has struck our country, has entered lawlessness into our land. Anarchy, anarchists, no law, society without rules. Folks, this was Israel 1,500 years ago before they went into Assyrian captivity in Isaiah and finally Babylonian captivity 150 years later or so. This is happening in America today as we have abandoned the true God. Isaiah 59:14 says this about the madness then and the madness now. Well, look at these streets. You see this more and more all the time, and I don't know about you, but I am discomforted when I see these photos. Lawlessness brings discomfort to our souls. It says this, justice is turned back, righteousness is afar off, for truth has fallen in the street. Doesn't exist. Equity or honesty cannot enter, so truth fails. He who departs from evil becomes prey. And it goes on to say this, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased the Lord that there was no justice. This is America today, disintegrating, deteriorating. It's not getting better and better. When God steps aside, when a person or a nation says, we don't want you, God simply steps aside and says, have your way. And judicial hardening begins, and it's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching. Harry Ironside says this. He's a wonderful teacher from the past, Dr. Harry Ironside. Because men gave God up, he gave them up. The madness just keeps getting worse. And the madness we see started, I believe, in this nation at least, in the 60s, in verses 24 and 25 with the sexual revolution. God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. Therefore, because they worshiped the creation rather than the Creator, because they didn't put God first, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Phase one, uncleanness, and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. who exchanged the truth of God, the creative order, for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So phase one of the rebellion against God is the sexual revolution. In the 60s and the 70s, folks, this hit us right between the eyes. And hey, when you're not saved, you're going, man, this is great. This is one. Oh, this is terrific. I mean, free sex. I mean, the women have lost their morals. We never had morals. Say, hey, we can just get together. Yeah. God gave them over to sexual immorality. Uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. Uncleanness, it means filth, moral uncleanness, lewdness, but lust. Lust is the word epithumia. Epi upon thumia, the mind. The mind becomes distorted, a distorted condition of the mind or the soul. What do these unclean hearts and lustful minds do? They dishonored their own bodies between themselves. This is sexual immorality. Free sex, anything goes. Now, as you know, I'm a product of the 60s and the 70s. And in the 60s and the 70s, we had songs that were very pertinent to that time frame. One of those songs was written by Stephen Stills in 1970, and it says, "Love the one you're with." That was the philosophy of the time. If you're down and confused, and you don't remember who you're talking to, concentration slips away because you're smoking too much pot, because your baby is so far away, well, there's a rose in a fisted glove, and the eagle flies with the dove, and you can't be with the one you love, honey. When you can't be, love the one you're with. That was the sounds of the time. Forget about your girlfriend. She's there when you get back. Just do whatever you want when you're out. And the flesh cries out, right on. Right on. This is great. And the world system says, oh, right on. And Satan says, oh, yes, have your way. Enjoy yourself. Listen to this. Throw out the true God. Throw off restraints. And the consequences come. The consequences come. The consequences of this free love, it's never free, and it's not really love, folks. It's not free, and it's not love. The consequences are sexual immorality with sexually transmitted diseases just went right off the chart, just boom, skyrocketed. A massive increase in adult bookstores. There was always that industry, but, man, it really shot up with the pornography. Playboy became a bestseller. Now, many men saying, I just look at it for the articles. I mean, give me a break. Child molestation, college rape, the sexual revolution produced unwanted pregnancies. And, of course, in 1973, because we had all the free sex and these babies that are coming, Roe v. Wade was passed. Isn't that something? Kind of went right in order, didn't it? Adultery statistics increased. Violence in schools. Now, look, we had some fights in school and that sort of thing. But not, then it got to be guns and knives, and then there's people coming in with Uzis, and now you have to have metal detectors. Folks, it just keeps getting worse. America lost its innocence when America abandoned God. America is post-Christian. Post-Christian. Listen to this. Ex-President Barack Obama, on June 28th, 2006, made this proclamation to the nation. Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. At least not just. We're also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation, and even a non-believers, atheist. Folks, this is the syncretism we've talked about, where all these things have come into America to confuse the minds of people. See, this stuff doesn't come in without affecting minds, affecting people. Obama hit the nail right on the head. America is post-Christian. The principles are clear. Exit God, enter chaos. And whenever you see chaos, realize who's at work in the background. The deceiver is at work. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Whenever you think lie, think Satan, the father of lies. In John 8:40, a father of lies, and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Worship of man became more and more popular. Have your way. You are the one that's in charge. And the ruler of this world and the world system just loves it. Satan's goal is all eyes off God, all eyes on self. Have you heard this? You deserve. You owe it to yourself. You need to just pleasure whatever you want. You hear that? That's not coming from the real God. That's coming from the ruler of this world system, Satan. And it just keeps getting worse. Folks, there's hope for the sexual revolution, folks. You know what that is? Turn to Christ. Turn to Jesus. There's a reality here of turning to Christ and turning to Jesus to take you out of these things. The next one is vile passions, unnatural affections, verse 26 and 27. It says this, for this reason, didn't worship the Creator, rather they worshiped the creation, God gave them up to vile passions. Now, this could not be clearer. This could not be clearer. For even their women exchanged the natural use for that which is against nature. Likewise, the men are going to be far behind, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty for their error, which was due. Now, let's take a hard stop here. Now, we're not homosexual bashing church. We are not that. All we are doing is recognizing what God's word says about the sin of homosexuality. It is a sin. It is a sin that will separate you from God and end up in hell if you don't repent of it and turn and live. That's the whole message that we have. It is not hating homosexuals because we don't agree with the lifestyle. And actually, we have a truth message, which is a love message. Whenever you tell somebody the truth that their eternal destiny is at stake, that is a love message. Even though it is viewed as intolerant, bigoted, and that sort of thing. You can't have a contrary opinion. You have to walk in concert with this cultural wave of immorality that we're experiencing today in order to fit in. No, we can't. We have to stand for the truth of God. So with that stated, let's talk about just a couple things. Phase two of the rebellion against God is homosexuality. Vile passions. Vile is dishonor, disgraceful, and shameful. That's how God views that whole lifestyle. Sexual immorality, the same thing. He could have put it in there too. Passions. Passions is the word pathos, where we get our words disease, condition of the mind, thoughts and feelings. Dishonored and shameful. This is how God views homosexuality. This is how God views sexual immorality. This is how God views all the sins. You could just put a whole list here. The only reason he's focusing on these is because there was an issue he had to deal with in the culture at that time in Rome and that sort of thing. But there, it's a situation that we all have a litany of things that we have to deal with that are shameful and vile. All of us are in the same boat, okay? All sin and come short of the glory of God. So women and men leaving the natural use of their God-given sexuality. And what is the ultimate result is this shame, this innate feeling of shame that happens in people. God does not stutter. God does not kind of tweak things to make you feel comfortable. He is straightforward. Homosexuality is a sin, plain and simple. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the culture says. It matters to us what God says. That's what it matters. It's not worse than other sins, folks. It is not worse, but indeed it is a sin, but it's being normalized by the culture, which we must say we can't buy into it, folks. We can't buy into it. So that puts you at edge with most of the world. Puts you at edge. Maybe your family members. A whole slew of people have been touched by this. And you have to decide, am I going to stand or am I going to compromise? Am I going to turn into gay theology and try to justify the lifestyle? And we're going to say, no, this is what God says. You have to make that determination in your hearts. Now, there's a consequence to this lifestyle, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, when you think of a consequence, immediately people go to AIDS, which is predominantly a homosexual disease, but it's not exclusively. You can get it from free sex. You can get it from blood transfusions. You can get it any number of things. But AIDS isn't the huge, big problem anymore. What the problem is this. Think about the mental well-being cost that's being extracted on that population of people who have themselves been deceived and say it's okay to engage in that sin. See, that's the cost, the mental well-being cost. Suicide rates are increased in the LGBTQ community. They feel the shame of this lifestyle. Now, in the Johns report in 2020, they reported the LGBTQ community, young people, are more than four times as likely to attempt suicide than their peers. The transgender community in the Trevor report, they say they're 41% more likely, and half of the transgenders have considered suicide. That's the Trevor report in 2023 on the National Survey of Mental Health of LGBTQ Youth. Something's going on here. Something's going on here. Now, the Trevor report then goes on to report their feelings on why this is increased in that community. They say the following. This community are not inherently prone to suicide risk because of their sexual orientation or gender identity, but rather placed at higher risk because of how they are mistreated and stigmatized in society. Now, I will grant it that in the past, that would be true, but that is not the way it is presently. As a matter of fact, it's extolled today. That you know that marriage values, gender values, right and wrong values, traditional values are being pushed down in our culture today, and these other values are just welcomed in. There's a full embrace, even extolling and celebrating homosexual, transgender, and now it's going into minor attractive persons. That's how the perversity decreases. That's pedophilia, folks. That's even thought about now as, oh, that's not so bad. Those people aren't that bad. Really. People are applauded for coming out and being true to who they really are. That's what happens today. And every movie you see, they're the heroes. Every movie you see, they're the funny ones. Every movie you see, those are the loving ones. Folks, that's not the truth. You're not seeing the truth. I want you to think about this. There is a lady, her name is Rosario Butterfield. She was a lesbian. She came out of that lifestyle. She was a college professor, recruited all kinds of other young ladies into that lifestyle, became a Christian, was very convicted of it, and now she talks about, you can come out of this. There's a lie that you can't come out of this lifestyle, folks. You can come out of it. It is possible. But she made this statement. There's an encouragement for people to be true to themselves and to come out, make a public proclamation. And she says, if you're struggling with same-sex attractions, be in the battle, be in the struggle. Don't give in to the come-out philosophy, because when you do, that does something to your brain that solidifies it in your brain, that this is who you are. And she says, that is not who you are in Christ. Look, I could be an adulterer. I could be a pornography addict. I could be a glutton and a wine bibber. I could be any number of things. I don't identify as that person. When I become a Christian, that is in the past, and I am pushing on towards what is ahead. I do not identify with who I was in the past. That guy's dead. Remember, he died at the cross, and we have been resurrected to newness of life, folks, and we are to live that out. So the homosexual community is just trapped in this. Everybody's saying it's okay. It's not okay. We have a word of truth. Now, we don't tell them, you don't come to people with guns blazing, you're going to hell with this. You tell them about the love of Christ, that Jesus loves you. You tell them the truth. We're all in the same boat, folks. We're in the sin boat. And we all need the rescue that only Jesus can provide for every one of us. Every one of us. The same sin boat. Why is this lifestyle so devastating to the well-being of people? Why? It's against God's prescribed order, which he has indelibly imprinted on the hearts of every human. Look, I know when I'm sinning. I don't have a problem with homosexuality, but I got a problem with a litany of things you can't even imagine. I don't have arms long enough. A huge plethora of things that I have to deal with. You do too. Let's be honest. You do too. It's one man and one woman for life under the marriage bond. God created marriage. Between a man and a woman, marriage is a God thing. Homosexual marriage is not marriage in the eyes of God. Doesn't matter what the government says. In the eyes of God, it is not marriage. It's an affront to God. It's an offense to Him. Now, God's creative order is not a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's not a hidden thing. It's plain and simple. Genesis 1:27 says this, God. Let that resonate in your minds. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. And how did He create them? Male and female. Male and female. In the image of God, the Imago Dei. The Imago Dei establishes the intrinsic worth of every human. We all have value. I love that magnifying glass. Every human has value. Babies have value, folks. The disabled have value. The elderly, which they want to kind of put us out of our misery, we have value. We still have value. Male, female, everybody has value. And when God finished the creation in Genesis 1:31, you know what He said? It was very good. His creative order, as He did it, was very good. And what does Satan want to do? His goal is to malign, distort God's creative order, what he calls very good. Homosexuality, transgenderism, free sex, and anything you can add there, and your thing, is not very good. Is not very good. The consequence of aligning oneself to Satan's strategies is God gives you over to your evil desires. And we're talking again against homosexuality and that sort of thing in this section. But that's anything that you have is that's taking over your idol, that's taking over your life, gives you over. The conscience tormenting a person can't shake the distress. And I want to emphasize this again. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. It's just one of a list of a litany of sins that we all deal with. So phase one, when God gives a person over to sexual lust, no peace, distress, and knowledge of sin. Phase two, vile passions, homosexuality, no peace, distress, a knowledge of sin. Everybody has it. And they should receive the penalty of their error, which was due. And it just keeps getting worse. Unless God intervenes in a life or in a nation, it just keeps getting worse. The worst part is phase three. That's a debased mind. He gives them over to a debased mind, 28 through 31. And even as they did not like to retain God, remember, they wanted to worship the creation rather than the Creator. In their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. Take a stop there. There's a list after this. These are all the unrighteous stuff that he lists here. He could have went on forever. He could have just finished the Bible with the unrighteous stuff that we have. But he stopped, thankfully. Sexual immorality. That's any sexual act outside of the marriage covenant between a man and a woman. Was that clear? Okay, I want to make sure that's clear. Okay, thank you. So, sexual immorality. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters. How do you like this next one? Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving. How about this? Unforgiving and unmerciful. All of that is the unrighteous stuff that he's talking about. Folks, phase three in the rebellion against God is a debased mind. A mind that has forgotten God completely. No longer processing right and wrong. A seared conscience. Like seared with a cautery. Justifying what you're doing. And then influencing others in the same thing that you've been doing. It's the point of no return for a person or a nation. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 21. Debased is the word adokimos. Not genuine. Not genuine. Disapproved. Cast away. Throw it out. That's what that word means. The darkened heart, listen to this, is worse than the sexually depraved heart. This darkness permeates every aspect of a person's life, being filled with all unrighteousness. All the areas of life are affected. That whole list that we went through is affected. Notice the sequence of events into the debased mind. It starts in verse 21 and 22 of forgetting God. That's the start of it. You just cast God away, forget him to allow you to do your thing. Forgetting God, and then not glorifying God. Remember, it progressed to not being thankful to God, and then had futile thoughts in their minds about God. And at the futile thoughts point, people just create God in their image. And then that image, that God that you create, allows you to do whatever you want to do, because it's all about love. It's all about love. Yes. It's a disaster. The result, they became fools. Worship the creation rather than the creator. And then you had to descend into sexual immorality, and then the vile passions, and the debased mind. And it just keeps getting worse. I want to close with this. It's the last section. It's verse 32. And it has to do with practicing such things are judged. Verse 32, listen carefully. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Let's go through this. I want you to think about something. It's all about life choices. It's all about life choices. Will I choose to live with God, fight the sin nature, put to death the deeds of the flesh, or will I choose to live apart from God, immersed in my sin nature, loving the deeds of the flesh, those not saved. I feel sorry for them. They have the conviction of God, and until they are saved, they don't have the power of God to live out a righteous life. Now, there's a lot of good people that we would say are good that are not saved. They make good moral choices and that sort of thing, but they're still lost and depraved. However, you, believer, have something that they don't have. You have the Holy Spirit of the living God dwelling within you, making his home in you. So you have the power to make faith choices and not flesh choices. They don't have that incredible power that you have. You can live honorably before God. You can overcome your past sin addictions. No addiction can a Christian not overcome. Everything is possible with God. It's through his strength and his strength alone. So believers, you can make a faith choice instead of a flesh choice. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God in you. You can live victoriously. Remember, not be victims, but be victors. You want to be victors because we yield to God, dwell in Christ, stay connected to the power source of the Lord Jesus. We can overcome. Now extrapolate that into your situation. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever your struggle is, when you're connected to the power source, you can overcome. You can overcome gluttony. You can overcome lust, jealousy, vanity, greed, the whole list, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. You can overcome, but you must dwell in Christ. You must put to death the old man. He's already positionally dead. He needs to be put to death on a regular basis. Push that dude down when he wants to come up, or she wants to come up. You push that dude down and say, no, this is who I am in Christ. I'm not going down that road anymore. This has stopped. This has stopped. Now, don't miss this key point here in verse 32. Those who practice such things, that's the list, the entire list, okay? That's all of us, are deserving of death. Now, that speaks of habitual way of life, not a temporary slip into sin. Folks, every one of us are going to slip into sin. This isn't sinless perfection here. Remember, it's direction, not perfection. We're never going to be perfect here. But there should be, I believe there really should be some demonstrable change and some victories in different areas. Now, granted, it might go like this and oops, and let's get back up on the ladder. Let's climb. Oops. It can go up, it can go down, but stay at it. Don't give up. That's the message. I want to focus on a final point here that I think is really important. Those who approve of those who practice them. Approve of those who practice them. Now listen to this. Practicing something is one thing. Giving approval and recruiting others into sin is another. I'm going to make a statement here that I believe is true, but it's going to get some knives thrown at me. Homosexuality recruits. Transgenderism recruits. They can't reproduce on their own because they're outside of God's order. It's just that simple. Think about people that you know today. Now, this happens all the time, particularly in politics. I don't believe in abortion, personally, or homosexual marriage or transgenderism. Just throw in whatever sin you want. But I encourage people to live out their truth. Just live out your truth. You have a right to be happy and live out your truth. Folks, this is the biggest cop-out in history of Christianity if you're doing that as a Christian. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because you're as guilty as those doing it. There's no cover for anyone who supports sin that God hates. I don't care how much the culture embraces it. There's no cover for anyone who supports something that God says, that is sin, I am against it. Now, God gives men up to do as they will. You know, mankind, humans, men and women, children, all of us, have the ability to choose God, for God, or choose against him. God gives men up to uncleanness, sexual immorality, judicial hardening. God gives them up to vile passions, homosexuality, judicial hardening. And phase three is God gives you up to a debased mind, judicial hardening, inventors of evil, anything goes. Anything goes. God assures final judgment and death. I'm going to make a statement here that is not a surprise to you. I've made this many times. I hope I'm wrong about this next statement. I really do. I hope I'm wrong about this. But I believe America is in phase three of judgment, past the point of no return. Now, why do I believe that? Because we have evidence in Scripture that tells us the breaking point for God, when he says, no more, no more. And I believe this, God will stay his hand if leaders and people will repent and turn to him. I believe that with all of my heart. God's judgment on Israel was assured. King Manasseh went too far. Now, on next, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, I'm going to be talking about King Josiah. And I took some of these slides from that, and I applied it to this talk. So if you come on Tuesday, you'll see these slides again. Okay? So just that's just a heads up. Now, Manasseh's sin crescendoed. He was against God, and then he started the sacrifice of babies to Molech. And remember, the drums would beat, boom, 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 louder and louder and louder to drown out the cries of these kids frying on Molech. It just burned them. So the parents and the people wouldn't hear the screams of the baby and the awful things. And then he set up idols in the temple to worship. Idols in the church to worship. That's the last straw. What have we seen? I've shown videos on this where you have Miss Pentecost in the church, accepted by the people that are hearing it. It's a tragedy. It's a transgender man looking like a lady. And it's accepted by the church. That's idols in the church, folks. That was going too far. Manasseh died, and a few years later, his grandson became king. And it was King Josiah. And he made reforms that delayed God's judgment for 31 years. 31 years, God says, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to judge because of these sins. But I'm going to hold off because a man of God went into power. A man of God went into power. Now, Josiah, I want to talk to you about him. 2 Kings 23:25. Watch what God has to say about this king. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him. That's David. That's Jehoshaphat. That's all the list of good kings. There aren't a whole lot of them, but there was a list of good kings. He was greater than any king who turned to the Lord as he did with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength. You catch those words? That's speaking to us, folks. With all of his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses, the word of God. Now, his story is this. His grandfather was Manasseh. Because you think, well, I'm raised in this home, and I don't have a chance because I was raised in this poverty and this mess and this nastiness, and I'm just doomed from the womb to the tomb. Oh, no, you're not. Grandfather was Manasseh, a wicked king. His father was Amon, a wicked king. And at age 8, he became king. At age 16, he began to seek the Lord. From 20 to 26, he destroyed idols. At 26, he ordered the temple to be repaired. That's worship of God, folks. And then he read the book of the law was found, and he read it. He read it. He put it into his being. The Lord was consulted. The law read and applied to the people of the land. He died at 39 in battle. Now, the next slide is going to show you this. The reign is to emphasize this, to emphasize King Josiah. Let this resonate within your mind. That first one, he did what was right. Right in whose eyes? The culture? The idol worshipers? In the eyes of God. In the eyes of God. He purged Judah of Jerusalem. All the idols out, folks. Get all the idols out of your house. Get all the idols out of your mind. Don't let your mind be occupied with the idols of this world. Repaired the house of the Lord, that's worship. And then the law, the scriptures were open. And he repented, he had great sorrow. And he read to the book to the people. Folks, read the book to yourself. Read the book to your kids. Read the book in small groups, big groups, little groups, at your workplace. Have the book in your mind. Have the verses. So that you can share the word of the living God. Have it all together. He restored true worship. Folks, listen to this. This thing's going in and out, isn't it? Okay, there you go. Let's see if we can get it right. America can do the same. America can do the same. Godly leadership may stay the hand of God. Godly leadership. America must do something. It must put to death the self-sins and once again extol worship of the living and true God. Folks, we live in a republic. That is special. We can vote for the person that we're putting in office. Every single Christian, I believe, should vote. Now, you might not think it's doing anything, but man, you have the ability to do something. You may do something. We don't know if this tide can be changed. But God does, and you have that privilege of voting. I encourage you to vote. Vote for the righteous president, the righteous king. The cycle must be broken. Now, notice the cycle. Tell me if this doesn't resonate. Self-indulgence. All about self, all the way through. All about me. Self-justification. I'm justifying my lifestyle. I'm justifying everything that I do. I'm going to make excuses for it, and I'm just because I love my sin. Self-deception, that's what it leads to, self-deception. You are deceived, going away from God, not to God. And then it ultimately ends up in self-deification. I am my God. I'll make my decisions, and I'll fit you in where I want to fit you in, God, but I'm really the God of my life. Leads to self-absorption, all about me. Folks, America has to put to death the self-sins. We must do this. Like Joshua, love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And I would urge you, don't give up on this country. Pray for America. Pray for a spirit of repentance to flow through the land. To flow through the land. May repentance start, folks, with the people of God. May it start here, flow into the cities and byways, into city halls, into county government, into state governments, all the way to Washington, all the way to our president. Pray for President Obama. President Biden. Well, maybe he is still the president, but anyway, pray for Biden. Pray for him. Pray for our congressmen and senators. And by the way, I would urge you to pray for these 9 men and women, the Supreme Court of the United States. Pray that they're saved and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Pray that they'll make decisions on the law that are congruent with the Word of God. And the laws of the land, by the way. Stick with the laws of the land, which were based on Judeo-Christian ethics. Stick with it. And perhaps God, one more time, perhaps He will grant our nation mercy and stay the hand of God. God's promise to the nation of Israel. This is a promise to them. This is a principle for people today, particularly for the people of God. A principle for America today. God to you, the people of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Focus on the words humble, pray, seek, and turn. Focus on those words. If, conditional, third class if. It's not a if and it's so. It is conditional. If you will do this. If my people, folks, we are the people of God today. If my people who are called by my name, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will hear their lands. You know what this was when this was prayed? You know what this was said? This was said when Solomon was dedicating the temple to God. And God says this, if my people who are called by my name, he says, if you see heaven shut up, if you see pestilence across the land, if you see the devouring locusts come, you know that you've turned against me. If my people, when they see this disaster, will pray, I will hear and I will give relief. If my people will do this, one more time, Lord, one more time, please bring revival and renewal to America. Please, God is our only hope. It is not government. It is not the government God who's tried to usurp and take over your hearts and minds. It is not the government God. It is not the Democratic Party. It is not the Republican Party. It is not the Independent Party. It is God. God to the rescue. God is not our last hope, but our only hope. Let that settle in for just a second. Turn to the Lord, folks, with all of your heart. May it start with the people of God. May it start with us. Turn to God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your soul. Every fiber of our being, turn to God. I'm not taking in this stuff from the culture. I'm going to believe my God no matter what. All of your heart, all of your soul. This Memorial Day, may we remember our God who set us free. Free to worship. He is our only hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that you've given us this time to study your word. And Lord, I pray today that there will be a massive revival and renewal in America. Revive your people, Lord. We're apathetic. We're not involved. Revive your people and renewal. Bring into the family of God new people from every place in life. Rich, poor, male, female, whoever. Just bring them in, God, into the family. Lord, we need you more than we need anything. Please, Father, bring revival to your church. In Jesus' name, amen.